Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashanthi Nilayam, giving you live broadcast in the Asia stream of Radio Sai every Thursday. As the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall have ended just now, it's now time for us to come to the first segment of the evening session of this Thursday live. And this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you all to yet another new episode of the recently begun program, The Veda Jignasa. And along with me is Brother Bhargav, Sairam Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
So at the outset, we shall collectively offer our humble pranams at Bhagavan's divine lotus feet, so that whatever we speak, whatever we think, and whatever we do is in accordance with whatever Swami wants us to do. And may He speak through us. So, Bhargav.
Yeah, Sairam Ganesh. So, starting, you have any thoughts on Atharvashirsham, Ganapati Atharvashirsham again?
So, continuing with where we had left
last week,
we were talking about the first Shanti Mantra that comes before the Ganapati Atharvashirsham,
yes.
Bhadram Karne Vishrunuyama Deva.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any more insights on the name itself, Ganapati Atharvashirsham?
So, when we were trying to learn why exactly that meaning is given of Atharvashirsham title.
Mm. Because you have Narayan Upanishad, Surya Upanishad, Vishnu Suktam, Narayan
Suktam. It would have been called Ganapati Upanishad also.
Ganapati Suktam.
Ganapati Suktam. Mm. But there is a very profound meaning that is associated with this.
Okay.
Ganapati, as all of us know and as Swami tells, the one who is the Lord of all Ganas.
All beings.
Mm. Ganapati.
Mm.
So, as Swami tells, Vinayaka, or the other name of Lord Ganapati, the one who has no higher authority than Him.
So, He is the ultimate.
He is the ultimate. He has no leader above Him.
Mm.
So, and Swami also tells very beautifully, if you have to become Ganapati, you have to have full control over your mind and yourself.
Yes.
So, that is what Swami tells, master the mind and be a master mind.
Yes.
And then... So, that is about Ganapati.
Mm.
Next portion of the title, Atharvashirsham.
Mm.
Shirsham, as all of us know, the direct meaning is head.
Head, yeah.
So, what does Atharva has to do in between Ganapati and Shirsham?
Mm.
So, Ganapati Shirsham is fine, elephant head. So, Atharva, why is it given? So, when we were going through a lot of texts to get to the meaning of this, a very beautiful Sanskrit explanation was given for this.
Mm.
Tarvati.
Mm.
Atharva is a word. Tarvati means to go or to move.
Okay.
Means wavering kind of
wavering,
thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Atharva is not wavering.
Okay.
That which is very, very steady.
Mm.
And as we see, the head of Ganesha is very heavy.
Yes.
And what it does, it stabilizes the entire body or the trunk.
The torso. Mm.
So, but all of us may have a doubt. How is it that such a huge head is being carried by a very flimsy body?
Small body.
Then the explanation is given. The power of the entire head is there in the Mooladhara Chakram.
It actually comes in the mantram also.
As we proceed further into the Ganapati Atharvashirsham, we will know that.
So, actually Mooladhara, when you mentioned Mooladhara, Mooladhara means the one which is the Adhara, the basic Adhara of everything.
Hmm.
So, actually Ganesha says, Tvam Mooladhara
Sthitosi Nityam.
So, you are stationed or you live, you dwell in the Mooladhara Chakra.
Hmm.
So, actually according to what you are telling, the symbolism of what Ganesha's form is, it actually shows that. It balances everything.
Mm.
But when you told about this one-pointedness and non-wavering nature of the mind, I remembered a beautiful experience that we had shared it some time back also.
Mm.
That there's one boy who was very talkative.
Mm.
And once Swami had come, you talk a lot, keep quiet.
Mm.
So, what he did, he told, okay, Swami has told me to keep quiet. So, let me do a sadhana of not talking at all.
Mm.
And I think the story goes that he kept maunam or not talking, kept silent for nearly 2 months.
Mm.
And then, one day he thought that enough is enough. Let me just tell Swami, like, let me just show myself to Swami. Swami will be so happy with me that I have not spoken a word. It's not easy, Ganesh, if you see. It's not easy to not speaking at all for 2 months. It's not easy. So he sat in darshan and he told Swami will come and praise me and then pat my back and don't talk to me, or he'll be very happy, give me path namaskar, say good boy. So to his utter astonishment, Swami came and he told bad boy.
It's very interesting.
I have done all this, you told, you talk a lot, keep quiet, and I have not spoken for 2 months, and then here the Lord comes and tells you're a bad boy. He was totally lost. He didn't understand what is actually happening. So probably after that, I think once more Swami comes and actually clarifies that when I said silence, it is not the silence of the lips or the mouth or the vak. It is the silence of the mind. That's what Swami actually meant. So when you say that Atharva Shirsham, the one-pointed or non-wavering mind, actually Swami also always indicates that the silence which should you maintain. We had mentioned, we had spoken this in the last week also. I think the whole be-all and end-all of all our sadhanas and all our practices is getting that silence which Swami is mentioning. So beautiful to actually have the same title for Ganesha.
Exactly. So then when we proceed further into the Atharva Shirsham.
If you just start the mantra. Om Namaste Ganapataye. One thing which is very, if you notice, one thing is not only in Ganapati Atharva Shirsham, but many mantra you take Rudram, Namakam, Namakam, because Namakam so many times. So what is this Namakam? Any specific meaning or any specific trait of this Namaha, which everywhere it comes. You don't find a place, any mantra where it doesn't figure out at all.
Yeah. Actually, the beautiful thing is Namaha. It is Na plus Maha. Na is not and Maha is me or mine.
Okay.
So the first word itself tells that nothing is yours.
Okay.
And you have to surrender what you call is the ego. Swami beautifully tells, no, between you and me, there is only your ahankara or the mind that is blocking both of us. Once you remove your ahankara and surrender to him completely, you are mine and I am yours, Swami tells. Both of us are same. And in this regard, when we talk of ego, there is a very beautiful experience that was shared by one of the senior students of the Vrindavan
campus.
Erstwhile college.
Okay.
Sri Satsai Arts and Science College. In those old Vrindavan bungalow days, there used to be called a safe room. And that was a very, very private room for all the students and Swami. Very few of them used to get a chance to be in that and have a closed session with Swami. So, on one of the occasions, a very elderly priest was graciously allowed by Swami to come and stand near the safe room. Imagine, near the safe room. So, what he used to do, as Swami used to enter the safe room, he used to chant Pravara.
Okay.
It is called Ahambo Abhivadaye.
Means you introduce yourself.
You introduce yourself.
With your lineage.
Lineage.
What you are.
And used to prostrate at Swami's feet and offer a flower and do a production to Swami wherever Swami is standing. So Swami was very, very pleased with him. 2 days passed, 3 days passed, and of course, when you go close to the Lord, the one which should not rise is the ego. So unfortunately or fortunately, the person had felt that, yes, Swami is giving me a lot of importance. And then the next day when he had come, he told all the students, please be aside, please give me way. When Swami comes, I have to do prostration to him and I have to do production to him. And he used to like chide away all the students, which obviously Swami will not expect anybody to do. Then the same day, Swami started ignoring him.
The treatment started.
Treatment started. The lesson had to be taught. So 1 day passed, 2 day passed. It was almost 4 days that Swami had even looked at him. Every day he used to stand with a flower and was ready to pay his obeisance. But Swami never bothered about him. Then after 5 days, he realized what was wrong with his behavior. He thought, no, it is all because of my ego. Now I should tell Swami that, Swami, please pardon me, ask for his forgiveness, and then we'll see what happens. The 6th day, when Swami comes out of the room, he tells Swami, please forgive me, I have understood my mistake. Then Swami was like very pleased with whatever he has told.
He has learned his lesson.
And then when he was about to do that pravara, it starts with Ahambo Abhivadaye. I am prostrating to you. Then Swami beautifully indicates to that person and to the students who are there around. Swami tells Aham Bow, you bow your ego, and then do your abhivadam. You offer your obeisance.
You offer the obeisance without the ego.
Without ego. Such a beautiful lesson, but so lovingly taught by our dear Lord.
No, actually, when you see, when you actually ponder a little deeper, any mantra, for that matter, if you actually take Rudram also, every anuvaka, especially from the fourth anuvaka, Namaha comes so many times. Because of that, the name of the mantra becomes Namakam itself.
Correct.
Means, same thing. And actually, Rudram talks, if just little digressing, Rudram talks about God is in everything. Like how we say here, next 2-3 verses it comes.
The entire creation
is pervaded by God. The same thing comes in this, same feeling is there in Atharvashirsham, Ganapati Atharvashirsham also. So when you say that you are none, you are nothing actually. Everything is the Lord who is there in, immanent in all this creation. So Namaha means so relevant for us in this context. So if you just move on next, Ganapataye, as you told, Ganapataye is one who is the Adhipati or the Lord of all the beings, the animate, inanimate, everything which is in creation. So if you talk about that Lord, who is Ganapati or who is Ganadipa, who is Ganesha, who is Vinayaka. So I was just thinking that what, before going into the main mantra, what are all those benefits or what are all those things which you will be able to gain by praying to him? So, Swami gives a very beautiful...
So, directly we are going to the Phalashruti. Okay.
Swami gives a very beautiful hint in this. He says, if you just take the form of Ganesha itself, it looks very strange. Like, you don't find many of our idiots have 4 hands and 2-3 heads and all that fine. But this is very strange. You have an elephant head and you have a human torso.
Human torso.
It's a very, and as you told, a small torso and a big head. So, is there a significance of all these things? Because Swami has told many times about every aspect of Ganesha which we find. Every small aspect of Ganesha. As we told last week, first thing which comes to my mind is the ears.
Ears.
And I think these days, all the quarrels and all the altercations and all the problems in the world are because of lack of listening.
Listening.
We had mentioned this. So, first thing which Ganesha tells is, be a good listener. Big, very big ears, be a good listener.
Patient listener.
Yeah, very, very important. And second, the trunk, which is, you know, it seems there is a very interesting aspect of an elephant is that when you go in a forest... They say that if you want to find a way out, try to find
the footsteps of an elephant.
The way an elephant walks. Because it seems whenever it goes, it makes way. If there is a tree, it will break the tree. It will destroy the tree and make a way. It's called the highway. A way which is made by an elephant or a herd of elephants is the highway. You can just follow it blindly because it will, without any obstacles, it will take you. That is one aspect of it. We say Mahato Mahiyan. The second aspect, Anodaniyan, means the one which is very, very minute, is the fact that if you put a small needle in front of an elephant, it can pick it up for you with the trunk very easily. So, it can do the gigantic tasks and also very small, minute task with the same type of finesse. So, this is a very important aspect of a Ganesha. Means, if you pray to him, you get that adaptability, you get that understanding to do any type of a task. A very minute task or a big task. So, that is one very important aspect of Ganesha.
So, but Bhargava, when you are talking about this big head, listening capability, And Atharva Sirsham, when we were talking, my mind just goes to the dearest devotee of our Lord, Sai Gita.
Yeah, correct.
And Swami never missed an opportunity to tell us about the devotion of Sai Gitamma. Mm-hmm. Because when our boys prayed to Swami to come to hostel, Swami always used to tell us, if you get a little bit of devotion of whatever Sai Gita has, then your life will be redeemed.
Yes.
And then the attention with which Sai Gitamma was always paying to, because the one-pointedness, whenever Swami's car used to pass by, we all remember, Bhargav, yeah. Because when we were there in our hostel, only due to Sai Gita's that roar, we used to come out of the hostel and then wait for Swami's car to come.
Actually, you are digressing from the topic, but you are tempting me again. So,
yes.
I'll just give you an experience. I remember an experience. I think we were in our second MBA, and our mischievous God, he will always try to give you surprises.
Mm.
So, I think this was during the summer vacation, just after Shivaratri. And, you know, we never know when Swami will... There used to be a very normal occurrence that Swami will leave for Vrindavan for those 2, 3, 4 months. But Swami was keeping it as a suspense. He was not telling anyone when is he starting, when is he going. None of us knew about it.
Mm.
So one day what happened, early morning, 4 o'clock or around 4:30, I think my room was just in front of Sai Gita shed, just facing the Sai Gita shed on the face of the hostel, ground floor, I remember. And then we heard a lot of uneasiness and a lot of noise being made by Sai Gita.
Mm.
So it actually woke us up. Around 4:30 in the morning, it woke us up. So we thought, what is this? Why Sai Gita is so restless today?
Mm.
Then we just went and few of us went to a teacher and told. Then the teacher told, my God, it's a hint.
Mm.
It means there is something is happening in Mandir and might be Swami is coming this side.
Mm.
So, wow, this is like a big hint for us, because Swami wanted to play a game with us, but Swami's devotee only came to our rescue. And then when this thing was told by the teacher to our boys, one boy was very clever. He just went ahead and rang the bell. You know, there is a bell which tells us about our dining hall sessions, our every session.
Mm.
He rang the bell frantically, because all of us got up. And the call was not a false alarm. It was
perfect timing.
And I remember the face of Swami. I remember Swami was coming in this red car, and then when he came, he was surprised. Oh my God, I wanted to give a surprise. And all these boys are outside the hostel looking.
Sai Gita broke that surprise.
And it was only because of Sai Gita, because she had come out and she was waiting for Swami's darshan there. And because of her, all of us are there.
Mm.
And it was such a beautiful darshan, that smile of Swami. Anyway, it was his play only. But he showed us that the intelligence of Sai Gita itself.
Mm.
And even if you talk about an elephant.
Mm.
That elephant, Sukshma Buddhi, what we're talking about, means it was able to sense Swami starting from Mandir.
Yes.
It's not easy.
That much of focus and that much of attention Sai Gitamma had towards the Lord.
Yeah.
Then when we proceed further.
There are so many aspects. One aspect which is very strange, which we see in Ganesha, is that big tummy.
Mm.
So we say, oh, it looks very funny and all that. But actually, there is significance for that also.
Mm.
It seems in life, you should be able to digest either good or bad. Whatever comes to you, you should have an endurance capacity.
Mm.
So that big tummy actually signifies that you should have the capacity to digest any experience which comes your way.
Mm.
Either it's good or bad, and be equanimous. And you know, one more thing which will never miss your attention is the mushika.
Yes.
So strange. A mushika is like a small miniature creature, and this
which carries
this Ganesha, who is a gigantic figure. So how it is? So again, there is a lot of significance in that also, that if you actually notice a rat or a mushika, it will always go through places which is dark.
Mm.
And it will always go through the end of a room or something, always hiding behind something and walking.
Mm.
So it seems it shows that it actually shows ignorance, it actually shows attachment and not being fearless. Always fearful. So then the significance of Ganesha actually controlling. Vahana means something which you control.
Mm.
So Ganesha, if you pray to Ganesha, it controls those
tendencies of
being fearful, being attached to ignorance and all these negative qualities, sloth, tamasic qualities, all these things are destroyed if you worship Ganesha. Mm. So this is one more interesting aspect of Ganesha which we cannot forget.
Mm.
And yeah, one more thing is which is very interesting is the tusk.
Mm.
There's a story of the tusk that Swami talks about, the sense of sacrifice.
Yes, as Sage Vyasa wants to write the Mahabharata, he requests none other than Ganesha to take up this task.
Mm.
And Ganesha had a very beautiful, he had one condition.
Mm.
He tells Vyasa that you should never stop while telling the story of Mahabharata.
Yeah.
Then Sage Vyasa also tells that
you should
understand and then write. It's such a beautiful understanding between Sage Vyasa and Ganesha. Lord Ganesha. So when Vyasa keeps writing, keeps telling, Ganesha writes with his, keeps writing, and what happens in between, the pen breaks.
Mm.
So he should not stop writing the Mahabharata.
We cannot call it pen, it's called Gantam.
Gantam.
Those days they used to make...
It's a scribe.
Yeah, we used to make indentations or marks on the palm leaves.
Mm.
So the one which he was making broke. So instantly...
He broke one of his tusks and then started continued with the flow of the writing.
So this actually shows that if you are there to do a work, if call of duty...
Mm.
You should be ready to sacrifice anything for it. Mm. He was able to break his own tusk and do the writing for it.
Mm.
So, this is one aspect of it.
So, as we proceed further into the Ganapati Adarshisham, we will know more about these things.
One thing is to know about these symbolisms of what Ganesha is fine.
Mm.
But, I can say he's got a beautiful tusk, or he has got long ears. He has got such a big tummy. Is it not enough to get the benefit? Why should we go into some meter or some particular way of chanting? Is it really necessary? Because it's not easy to learn Vedam, whatever you say.
Actually, if something is being told, there should be some significance associated with whatever is told.
So, yeah, we just pondered over this and we got a very beautiful insight into this, that this... this, like any other Veda mantra, is nothing but a revelation which was already there in the ether to a sage.
Mm.
Here is Ganaka Rishi. It comes in the mantram also.
Mm.
So Ganaka Rishi got this revelation from this ether when he was in sync with that cosmos.
Mm.
So when he got this revelation and he put it in this particular form for us to chant.
Mm.
So if you chant in this, all those things which are there in this, all those qualities of Ganesha will come to us.
Mm.
So, to make it a little more interesting for the present contemporary times.
Like when one of the members attended the workshop, he told about the intonation comparing with a flyover.
I have mentioned this before.
Yes.
So one thing which you can say is, if you consider this whole universe as a big hard disk, might be of infinite terabytes, with all the information about every aspect of the deities or everything about spirituality or divinity in it.
Mm.
But if you want to download little bit out of it, you need a pen drive.
Yes.
But if you put the pen drive, it will not work.
Mm.
You need to have a software which reads and actually downloads it for you, so that you can... do it for your benefit. You can use it for your benefit. That software which is downloading that from the universe, from the cosmos, is this particular mantras which we chant.
Mm.
So, software has a source code.
Yes.
Should be a code. Even if a dot or even might be a comma or something goes here and there, it gives an error.
Error.
Same way, every mantra with every intonation, if you don't chant it properly, it doesn't generate that vibrations for you and it will not give you the benefit.
Mm.
So, let us all be a good pen drives with a good software.
Yes.
So that...
we will follow whatever is being told.
Yeah, because source code.
The
source code should be correct. So, when you want to get all the benefits of Ganapati Atharva Shirsham, please follow this software, which is called Atharva Shirsham, and chant it properly.
Mm.
first chant just like that. Mm. After that, probably when you know the meaning, even you got the source code also. No. Once you get the source code, you can play with it.
Can play. So when we go to the first few lines of Ganapati Adarshisham, Namaste Ganapataye.
That it gives an idea that Vinayaka or Ganapati is itself everything.
Everything.
Like just if you go to the second line of it.
Mm.
Tvameva pratyaksham tattvamasi. So tattvamasi is like something which Swami always talks about, the four Mahavakyas.
Mm.
The first one which he talks about is tattvamasi. Means that which cannot be described, which cannot be explained, that which is everything, that you are. So here he says that Ganesha himself is everything.
Mm.
And then next comes the actual aspects of Ganesha, which does the creation, the maintenance, the sustenance and the destruction. I think the next three.
Yes. Tvameva kevalam. Tvameva pratyaksham tattvamasi. Tvameva kevalam kartasi.
You are the creator.
Tvameva kevalam dhartasi. One who even sustains. Tvameva kevalam hartasi.
One who destroys.
Destroys. Tvameva sarvam khalvidam brahmasi.
You only are this whole Brahman, the whole universe, which is pervaded by Brahman, is nothing but you.
So when we talk of the first thing, tvameva kevalam kartasi, you are only the doer.
Yeah.
That is what, when we have the feeling of surrender imprinted in our hearts, whatever offering we do, whatever activity we do it as an offering to the Lord.
Yeah.
So on one occasion, I'm reminded of this incident. This happened in Kodaikanal in 2009.
Mm.
So we had this trio of the Burakada boys. So Swami had very, very lovingly given them three opportunities to perform their Burakada.
Mm.
So after every Burakada, Swami used to so endearingly call them, present them with shawls and shower his love on them. And then on one of the occasions, when Swami was profusely blessing them, one of the members of the trio, he happened to tell Swami, "Swami, you are only doing through us."
Okay.
That is what is
kevalam kartasi.
And Swami, at that instant, he caught hold of that boy's hand. And this was such a profound statement and lesson for all of us. Swami turned towards him and told, just because you are having that feeling that I am the doer, that Swami is the doer through you, you are able to experience my love and grace sitting in front of me, sitting in close proximity with me in Kodaikanal.
Beautiful.
Such a important lesson for all of us to learn.
Yes.
So, in this way...
Means if you get even that thought that Swami, you are the doer, not me.
Mm.
Even if it is not... Might not be completely from my heart, but even if that thought
is there,
comes to me, it is because of that we enjoy so much of grace and love from Swami.
Yes.
So beautiful.
So then we come to the next one.
Tvameva
kevalam dhartasi.
Sarvam
khalvidam brahmasi. Tvam sakshat atmasi nityam.
Means you are the Atman eternally. You are always the Atman.
Mm.
So this is the next one. So I think Ganesh, all these things only talk about the exalted or the deity with Ganesha is. Means he is everything.
Mm.
He talks about there is nothing which is not him.
Mm.
He is Brahman. It, like the same thing, this verses are telling the same thing in a different way. Different aspects of it. Mm. You are everything. You are Atman. You are the one which is Tattvamasi. So
once we start going deep into each of these mantras, there is no end to where we can stop. So, but we have to stop because the time is already 6:45 and Brother Bishu is ready with the bhajan classroom. So with this, maybe we should keep it on hold and continue it in the next class, next week's class.
Yes.
And we shall continue going into the detailed meaning.
Okay.
And we shall try to incorporate the learnings that are there from this mantra in our day-to-day activity.
Yes.
So that whenever we do a task, whenever we do an activity, we keep reminding ourselves of what is being told in the Vedas.
Yes.
So that is what ultimately Swami wants us to learn.
Yes, correct.
So with this humble prayer, again we collectively offer our pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet. And we... request all the listeners to please take part in this journey of Vera Jignasa. Yeah. And please do share your feedback, your ideas, and your where we can improve such kind of thing, your insights into whatever is being told, write to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp to 9595258258. So with this, we come to an end to this week's Veda Jignasa. So Bhargav and myself take leave from you. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
And happy listening. Stay tuned to Radio Sai Asia Stream.